I want to do something this morning. We'll receive the offering at the close of the service today. I want to ask two questions, and go ahead and start filming me now, guys. I want to ask this, not in a cockiness or arrogance. How many of y'all think I'm wealthy? Hold your hand up. Would you get a shot of that? Keep the hands up. Get a shot of that, Jules, or whoever's shooting the show this morning. You think I'm wealthy. Do you believe I'm wealthy because of my house? Hold your hand up. Or because of how, of what I preach? Okay, you may put your hand up. People are very nervous about the word rich. Poor, they can handle. Rich, they got a problem. The first Adam went poor. He was born into riches with fine gold on top of the ground. All needs, desires, and wants supplied for eternity. Think about that. The most prettiest woman with no clothes on. Now that's heaven for a man. You lady may not believe that, but that's heaven for a man. Look at the men. They ain't saying nothing. They just keep their head up. Yeah. Watch this. And God saying, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue. And God providing seed in a perfect society. My God. He starts the law of Genesis before the fall, but yet continues it after the fall. As long as there's seed time and harvest time, as long as the earth remains, there'd be seed time and harvest time. Now, many people say I do very well, and without sounding prideful or arrogant, I do very well. I work very hard, but I do very well because I ask the Lord for knowledge and understanding and wisdom concerning how to function in an economic world. And I know when I get to heaven and the economic world doesn't exist, I'm going to ask for knowledge and wisdom and understanding how to function in a heavenly, perfect world. And I realize I don't know it all. So, and I love the scripture that iron sharpeneth iron. And sometimes just in conversations with you, I will learn something. I've been looking for an answer maybe for 30 years on something. And you may say something like what we say in America, off the cuff. And it's my answer that I have been looking for all those years. But I want to explain to you why everything I've ever touched prospered. I didn't say it was easy, but it prospered. And at the time of this preaching, 34 years, you've heard me say it before, full-time ministry, 36 years of preaching, but 34 years of full-time ministry. Never having a financial deficit is completely unheard of. But I understood finance in the gospel. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to go with me. We're going to start this at Malachi chapter 3. You know where I'm going. And as you're turning to Malachi chapter 3, there are four types of giving in the Bible. Most people know them all, but get them all mixed up, and they change the way things are supposed to function. There is the tithe. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to teach this, and I'm going to try to teach it slow. There is the tithe. There is the first fruits, there is the alms, and there is the seed. Four types of giving in the Bible. Three of them go to God, one of them goes to man. I write that down. Maybe one day I ought to start putting some of these points on that, because I know sometimes they're kind of long on the screen one of these days. Maybe I'll get a chance to do that. Four types of giving. The tithe, the first fruits, the alms, and the seed. Now, I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit. Most people understand the alms.
They struggle with the tide. They don't believe at all in the first fruits. And they think the seed is a gamble, a shot in the dark. But when God places something in the scripture, one of my favorite verses that I have on this church, Psalms 89:34, my covenant will I not break. Now watch this. Nor alter the things that go out of my lips. Title of my sermon today is, why isn't my giving working? Why isn't that? Well, I'm going to get to that, but I got to first build this foundation. In Malachi 3:8, it says, will a man rob God? I'd like to answer that. Yes. Because he figured God ain't coming to the house to arrest him. But remember this, that God always lets you make the choice. He has the power to arrest you. But he lets you make the choice. Will a man rob God? Yes, you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithe and offerings. Now watch this. You are cursed with a curse. That's pretty strong. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So he wasn't talking to one person. The whole nation included the preachers. And the priests. And anybody working in ministry of that day. Then he gives us an instruction. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. That there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, it saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Now they were an agricultural community, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed or empowered to prosper, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, what's the motivation for tithing? Write this down. Motivation for tithing is obedience. Write that down. I'm dealing with this morning, why isn't my giving working? Okay, here we go. The tithe, the motivation is simply obedience. Now, write this down. The tithe is the divine connector to the blessing. The tithe is the divine connector to the blessing. What blessing? Let me help give you a chance to write that down. The tithe is a divine connector to the blessing. Well, what blessing is he talking about? I'm not talking about blessings, stuff. Something higher here. The blessing, the ability to get stuff. The tithe is a divine connector to the blessing. Genesis 1:28. You can go look at it later. It says, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, always producing. Multiply, always increasing. Replenish, fill and refill. You've heard me say this before. And subdue, control your environment, or your environment will control you. That's the blessing. That's what the tithe connects with. The blessing was before the tithe. Okay? In other words, God gave you a harvest or the end result before the beginning. Then he instituted tithing in the Bible. In both testaments. Amen. Most people say it's an Old Testament concept. No. It's a Bible concept. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the tithe is a divine connector to the blessing. What blessing? Be fruitful, always producing, multiply, always increasing, replenish, fill and refill. And then it says subdue. Control your environment or your environment will control you. Watch this. Write this down if you can. Tithing is the way for recession or depression to bypass you. Tithing is the way for recession or depression to bypass you. Why? Because he says, bring all the tithes, there may be meat in my house. who now saith the Lord of hosts, will not open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. There shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will open up the windows of heaven. As long as the windows of heaven are open to you, I don't care what recession is or depression is, it bypasses you. I am proof that that exists. Look at me. When in the recession, they call it the Great Recession. I wasn't born to the Great Depression, but in the Great Recession, I was not affected at all. In fact, I was blessed. I did that because it connected me, my tithe connected me, and it caused me to bypass recession. Now, I was not born in the Great Depression. I may look like I was, but I'm not. That's too far back there. That's in the 29 to 34, 35. But Brother Kenneth Copeland's father and mother, A.W. Copeland and Vanetta Copeland, on their marriage day, put tithing in their marriage vows. Now, that man's now in heaven, so is Sister Vanetta Copeland. Now, this is the straight words from the lips of Brother Kenneth Copeland. They just really blessed me. And they were in the Great Depression, all right? And yet, because they refused to break that covenant, Brother A.W. Copeland never went 24 hours without a job. And a good paying job. So that open-winded heaven made him bypass the Great Depression. And he went home to be with the Lord, taking care of himself, had his own money and everything, and left money for his family. That's what the tithe does. It makes you bypass recession and depression. Oh, that's good. Write this down. Tithing holds God to his promise to rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Tithing holds God to his promise to rebuke the devourer. What devourer? Well, the devourer that's trying to make your car break down, your washing machine break down, your air condition, your house going down, or anything that he can do to make you spend money that you don't want to spend. In other words, things that come up when you least expect it. You know what I'm talking about? So I'm proof of that in my first house, or this house when I moved here. I mean, the air conditioner man said I would go slap broke. I can't believe how long your air conditioning units lasted. I said, well, I'm a tither, and he kind of freaked out over that. I said, what it is, God rebuked the devourer for my sakes. So when people lost money, Jesse made money. Why? Not that I was better than them, but I was connected to the blessing, so I bypassed that. And that Malachi 3:10 and 3:11 holds God to that promise. That's right. That the devourer wouldn't touch anything I have. You see, I'd rather have 90% be blessed of my money than 100% of it be cursed. He said, you're cursed. I'd rather have 90% be blessed than to have 100% be cursed. Amen. Well, I can't afford that. Well, you're going to get there. That's why you're here. That's why we're trying to help you. Right. First thing, you've limited yourself of what you can afford. You didn't even have to ask God about that. He ain't interested in what you can afford. It's what he affords. Or you'll wind up with a Ford. Just got that revelation there. Glory to God. All right. That's the first. I'm going to go over this, and then I'm going to dig at it. Number two, the next way of giving is the first fruits. What is the motivation for first fruit? The motivation for first fruits is generosity. Write it down. The motivation for first fruits is generosity. Write it down. And go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. I want to read verse 9 and 10. Motivation, the motivation for first fruits is generosity. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. You don't have to turn to it. You can go to it later. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. All. Why? So your thy barns be filled with plenty. Everybody say plenty. And thy vats of presses shall burst out with new wine. Amen. This is the first fruit offering. Now, why does God want us to give first fruits? Remember this now. This is being given to God. Write this now. First fruits shows God you're not in love with money. That's why he trusts you with it. First fruits shows God you're not in love with money. That's why he trusts you with it. Meaning this, if you get a raise of $50, all right, they gave you a raise of $50 on your check, that whole 50 should be given to the work of the Lord. Amen. Oh, no, but I need that money. Well, you've been living without it for a long, long time. I'm pretty sure you can live without it one more paycheck. Remember, you were living without it, right? Now, that shows God, I just blessed him. And you know what? He's generous. Instead of go buy something, you only do this once. This is not every time. And then enjoy your raise the rest of your life. It shows God that you don't love money. That you love him. That's generosity. You're motivated by generosity. Do you get that? And that simply means that he can trust you with it, which means he's going to give you more. Amen. All right. Write this down. First fruit shows your gratitude to God for the extra blessing he has bestowed upon you. So in other words, it shows God that you don't love. And the second time it shows gratitude. Let me say it again. First fruits show your gratitude to God for the extra blessing he has bestowed on you. See, so in other words, this is given to God. These are four types of offerings and givings to the Lord. So he said, Lord, I mean, I ain't had it before, so I can wait one more paycheck before I can start blowing it or doing what I want with it. And he goes, you mean you would think of me? That's why they call it first fruits. He said, because you have done that. And you have honored me with all thy substance. I'm going to keep your house full of groceries. Your car full of gas. Your children fully clothed. With good clothes. You know, brand name clothes. And while they're wearing it, just like it was renewed in the Israel in the desert, it's going to bust out with new wine. They're going to get some more, and so are you. In other words, girl, you ain't going to never have a shopping spree like you have once you understand first fruits. Now, God gives you a choice on first fruit. Bring it to the house or bring it. Look, now nah, this is where you're going to get mad. Or bring it to the priest. I lost you right there. Go read it. There is approximately, no, that's not a problem. It is a fact. There are at least 31 references concerning first fruits in the Bible. 31 of them. People say, well, that's an old covenant thing. Not according to Romans 11, verse 16. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to say this. Let me say this. First, God shows that you, he trusts you, that you don't love money. So he trusts you with money. He shows that your gratitude when you give first fruits for the extra blessing. Write this down. First fruits is an expression of your love for his word. And as I just said, and it's only done once. It's only done once. In other words, you get a $50 a month raise at one time, and then you got 11 months of just enjoying whatever. Or whatever the raise is. Okay? Now remember that, okay? It's an expression also of love for his word. And it's only done once. Why? Because he's not looking to get your raise. He's wanting to raise you more. Okay. Write this down. First fruits is in the New Testament. And there are 31 references to first fruits in the entire Bible. 31 of them. And I've had some people say, now, brother, that first fruit stuff not in the New Testament. Well, can I read it to you? Romans chapter 11. That's in the New Testament, isn't it? Is that wrote by the Apostle Paul? Romans chapter 11, verse. This way you can tell somebody if they have a question in verse 16. I think Romans chapter 11, verse 16, we get to it. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. See, we're the branches. This is in the New Testament. Read it again, Romans 11, 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. See what I'm saying? So it's coming over. That's what God wants to do. Now, I'm just giving you this. I'm setting this foundation. Okay, I'll go back over to it now. Now we're going to go to the third thing. The third type of giving. I'm dealing with why isn't my giving working? And that is called the alms. This is what most people do. Almsgiving. Almsgiving is its motivation for almsgiving is compassion and sympathy. Alms. It's the only one of the four that's not given to God. Write this down. Alms is the only giving not given to God, but given to mankind. This is not given to God. This is given to man. The alms. Write this down. Alms is given in secrecy. I'm going to go over it again. To protect people's dignity in their crisis. Let me say this again. Let me start over. Alms is the only given, not given to God, but to mankind. Alms is given in secrecy to protect people's dignity in their crisis. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to go to it and read it. If you want to go, you can go with me, or you can read it later. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Watch this. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, watch this, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now what does that mean? People think you can't talk about the offerings you gave. That's not true. The reason why he said don't let your left hand know what your right hand do is it's in almsgiving. Why? So it protects the dignity of a person that's hurting in their crisis. God says, if you talk about it, you're going to lose your reward. Ready for this? I'm going to shock you. Most ministries tell everybody their almsgiving. Show you the bloated babies. Wait a minute here. Jesus said this in red because it moves people to give by compassion and sympathy. Is that bad? No. But let me show you what happens. Watch this now. It moves people with compassion and sympathy, which is nothing wrong with that. But wait a minute. Why are they doing that when Jesus explicitly said, when you do alms, do it in secret? My own board of directors have not fought me, said, why don't you tell people what you do in missions? Why don't you tell people? Because that's my almsgiving. That's why I'm blessed. And I get rewarded. That's my almsgiving. I'm not going to make the mistake to move upon you, to move you with compassion and sympathy to give when God explicitly told me, when you help the poor, and we should help the poor, all of us, we do it in secret so that their dignity is preserved in the midst of that great crisis. Why? Why? Because that is motivated by compassion and sympathy. Write this down. Now, here's what they don't understand. The rate of return on alms is reimbursement. Now watch this. The tithe says, I'll keep the window open and rebuke the devourer. The first fruits looks at you and says, oh my God, because you have loved me and showed me gratitude, I will trust you with money like you've never had before. Those two are given to God. This is given to man. Now watch this. When you give, the return rate on alms is reimbursement. How do I know that? Proverbs chapter 19. Let me read it to you. You don't have to go to it. You can go over it later. Or if you want to come with me, you can. Y'all enjoying this? Yeah. Wait till I really get to preaching. Proverbs chapter 19. I'm laying the foundation here. Hallelujah. Now this is going to blow your socks off. Proverbs chapter 19. Verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor, lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, he will repay him. So the rate of exchange is dollar for dollar. Because it's given to man. God says, you bless the poor. It will not cost you anything. I will repay you. Amen. Now, we're not talking about tithe. We're not talking about first fruits. We're talking about almsgiving. This is what the world understands giving to be. 99% of all giving usually is done in almsgiving. That's why they say prosperity doesn't work. Well, bless God, that 36, 100 fold stuff. Right. It doesn't work on the alms. It works on the seed. You mix something up. So you get back dollar for dollar and you think, my day, well, I don't believe that prosperity stuff. You see how that? Whoa. No. He explicitly tells you, keep your mouth shut when you bless the poor. And number two, I'm going to repay you. Because you were moved by pity, sympathy, moved by compassion. Setting this thing, oh, glory to God. Y'all enjoying this? See, I don't mix that up in my life. Oh, Lord, you want me to go there? Okay, as I told you, most giving usually is alms. Now, here is what you're going to get shocked at. If you take your tithe or your first fruits or your seed, I'm going to stop right there because I got to go to the fourth before I finish that statement. Just remember that. Don't write that down. I'm going to stop right there because this is, you're going to understand this now. The fourth giving is seed. The offering that goes to God. The motivation for the seed is faith and reward. Mark chapter 4. Oh, Jesus. Mark chapter 4, verse 8 says, you could read the whole chapter, talking about the sowing of the seed, verse 3 actually says, behold, they went out a sower to sow. He gives seed to the sower. What does seed do? What's the motivation for seed? Faith and reward. Verse 8, and others fell on good ground, did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. I want you to write this down, and then I'm going to start this preaching thing. I almost started to preach that a while ago, but I got to watch myself. Seed. Or offering giving is the only way. Write it down. Seed or offering giving is the only way that the 30, 60, and 100-fold harvest is received. The 30, 60, and 100-fold offer is not received on the first fruit, not received on the tithe, and not received on the alms. That's why he said tithe and offer. This is creating your future, your seed. Motivate it. By faith and reward. Let me say it again. Seed or offering giving is the only way that the 36 and 100-fold harvest is received. So in other words, seed starts at 11%. Because the 10th belongs to the Lord. All right? Write this down. The seed is the surest way to stop poverty in your life. I was raised poor. My daddy and my mother were generous. They loved God, but they got mixed up on their giving. They gave, but never saw what I have seen. Not because I'm better than them, but I received something in the scripture that changed my life. The seed is the surest way to stop poverty in your life. Number two, the seed is the quickest way for total debt cancellation. Why? Because, see, if you gave $100 and you got $10,000, you can knock out a few bills. And if you gave $10,000 and you got $1 million, not only do you knock out bills, you become an investor. It's the surest way to debt cancellation. Okay? Number three, the seed must be put into fertile soil. Why? For it to accomplish the impossible in life. The seed must be put in fertile soil for it to accomplish the impossible in life. All right, did everybody get that? Now let me do some preaching. If you take the tithe, remember I told you that a while ago, you remember that? Or you take the first fruit, or you take the seed because you move by compassion and sympathy, and you make it alms. You change the rate of exchange and purpose. Write it down. If you take the tithe, first fruit, or the seed, and you make it alms. Remember, the rate of exchange on alms is dollar for dollar, reimbursement. You change the rate of exchange and purpose. Now, talk about me. Why am I blessed and I've never had a deficit in 34 years? Because I never changed my tithe into alms. I never changed my seed into alms. And I never changed my first fruit into alms. Because you see, if you do that, then the rate of exchange goes back to dollar for dollar. That's why people don't believe in prosperity. They took their tithe, they took their first fruit and their seed, they made it alms. Because you see, they went to a church like this one. Jules, get a shot of this whole church. Get a shot of all the stuff in there. And people say, they come here and they say, boy, that judge of the planet, he doing good. And we ain't used to give our tithe over there. We went to a church and they need it more. Uh-oh. Oh, man. And I'm not against giving to the poor. Listen, uh-oh. You just changed the rate of exchange on the tithe. Yeah, but I gave it a tithe. Yeah, but you turned it into alms. So God can't, watch this, keep the windows of heaven open. God can't keep the devourer from eating what you just did. Yeah. Or you went to a place and a guy really moved you and said, give a seed. You need, and your offering was supposed to be in fertile ground, but he moved you in a way. And we have a terrific need. Watch this. Turn it into alms. He moved you by compassion and sympathy. See, you're still going to get blessed because the seed has a 3,600-fold return. But if God can't, when you do that, he can't use the devourer. He lets the devourer eat your harvest. That's why some people can make all kind of money and broke 3 years later. Because they will move not by obedience, not by generosity, not by faith and reward, but by compassion and sympathy. Yeah, but look over there. Watch this. I'm going to take a portion of my tithe. And I go, no, no, no. And a portion of my first fruit and a portion of my seed. Because, you know, look, the guy ain't wearing nice clothes. He ain't got this. You're still giving, but you turn now seed, tithe, first fruit into alms. I can't say this enough. And before you know it, you get back what you sold, dollar for dollar. But you say, well, bless God, how come the windows of heaven are not open? How come everything's still breaking down? I gave my 10%. No, you turned your 10% into alms. You turned your first fruit into alms. You turned your seed into alms. Now, you might have got a great blessing on the seed because it has faith and wrought. It's motivated by faith and wrought. But all of a sudden, it goes right back to dollar for dollar. And watch this. And God can't stop the devil from devouring your harvest because you changed the rate of exchange and its purpose of what it was supposed to do. Think about it. Think about it. See, but I didn't think it was going to be. Yeah, but no, you don't understand. It was my 10%. I thought, yeah, but you changed it. So you changed the purpose of it. Think about that for a minute. See, I never mixed up those four types of giving. And I tell you what, my alms, I ain't lost a dollar in my life, brother. My tithe, you seen anything destroyed in my life? I do look like I'm living under an open window to heaven, don't you think? If you don't believe that, go down to the River Road, look left. That's not bragging. I did. And how come he gets so blessed? How come people just give him money? Because you see, my seed is protected because I was motivated by reward and faith so the devourer can't get it. My tithe is defected. I couldn't stop me because I lived under the open window of heaven. So the recession and the depression bypassed me. My first fruits, God says, let's just bless you some more. Look at that. That man, I'm going to call somebody, give him $1,000. And the first thing I do, and I may walk it, I may have done it to some of y'all. Hey, put this in your pocket. Oh, no. You don't understand. It's my first fruit. Remember those two. See, two of them are done in obedience, generosity, faith and reward. Are y'all getting this? See, do you understand what is motivating your giving? You got to understand motivation is why do you do what you do? Why did the New Orleans Saints win a Super Bowl? Motivation. They were motivated to win. Why did you marry your wife? Motivation. You might have had to try to convince her. I know. I mean, I didn't have to convince Kathy. Kathy asked me, but. So the tithe is motivated by obedience. First fruit is motivated by generosity. Alms is motivated by compassion and sympathy, and the seed is motivated by faith and reward. See, I never mixed them up. So when I took my tithe, I've had some people say, well, just take a portion of your tithe and just go ahead and give it, because they simply need it. I said, well, my problem is, if I do that, I'm going to give access for the devourer to eat up what I got. And I'm going to hear this, and the door and the window going to shut down. Yeah, but it's still 10%. I don't care. You changed it. You changed it. God didn't change. You changed it. And he put this in this scripture. And it's amazing to me. Preachers of all those years still hadn't figured that out. Let me just say that again. Concerning when you do that on the alms, if you take tithe of first fruits or seed and make it alms, you change the rate of exchange and purpose. Most giving is usually alms. What does most ministries do on television? They tell people what they're doing in Haiti. Nothing wrong with that. You should. But God said, hey. And what does everybody say about Haiti? Poorest nation in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Well, can't you leave, let some people have some dignity? During Hurricane Katrina, we had enough sense to do some things before Katrina hit so that we knew that I could not, that Satan couldn't steal what I had. So we made sure that we would have enough to be the blessing we wanted to be, because we knew that almsgiving would get very big after Katrina. You see what I'm saying? And we did that. Open up Covenant Compassion Center.
We were moved by command. One black man came to me, he said, crying. He said he lost his house. So I said, well, we have a place. You can stay with your family. I'll just tell you something, because now he's doing very well. Place with your family, put your family in there. He said, Brother, we lost everything. House, furniture. And everything. I said, well, we'll go down the store. I think Christine got a hold. And we bought brand new furniture. Am I right, Christine? We put it in there and just use it. Bless. Oh, you said, he started crying. I said, no. He said, I didn't come. I said, no. We just want to be a blessing. Now, I'm telling you this after the fact, because now he's doing real good. Now, I said, stay there as long as you want. He knocked that house out. He fixed that house in 2 months. He come back, a big smile on his face, had his little child with him. He said, Brother Jesse, I tell you what, money. He said, I fixed my house up. I tore out all the sheetrock. I got all that water junk. And he said, now, I don't have any carpet on the floor. On a concrete slab, but we're going back in that house. I said, you got any furniture? Well, no. He said, well, that's all right. I said, well, take that furniture. Oh, no. What about for the next person? We'll buy some more, didn't we? I said, we'll buy some more. Now, I planted that seed so I can get some more furniture reward. I didn't mix it up with my arm. I said, now, this is yours. I gave him that. I said, take it. I said, now, when you're on your feet, remember, the day will come when you will become me and someone will be you. And don't forget that what we did for you, you now do for others. And he has. I would say 99.9% of all giving to ministry is almsgiving. And that's why they don't believe prosperity works, because they change their tithe in the alms, their first fruit in the alms, and their seed in the alms. Now, yeah, but Jeff, that sounds like a lot. Well, 2 Corinthians 9 says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. He has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, and his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, he which ministers seed to the sower, not to the keeper, to the sower, ministers bread for your food, multiplies your seed sown, increases the fruit of your righteousness, being enriched in all things to all bountifulness. You see, because that's keeping the four types of giving correctly. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, some churches receive two offerings on their Sunday morning. So they receive a tithe offering, and then they receive a tithe offering, then they receive the offering. And what is offering? Luke 6:38. Given it shall be given. Why says, here we go again. Now that's the seed. Given it shall be given unto you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give unto your bosom? For with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you. But you see, what happens is Satan is smart enough to move you with sympathy and compassion so that he's the devourer, so he can devour your harvest, even though you're a good seed sower. Let recession and depression hit you. You don't need to pay tithes. It's not in the New Testament. First fruit. Bless God, you got a raise. You ought to take that right there and go buy something. And well, let me help you. You are going to buy something if you do this right. Because when Kathy walks in the mall without signing paper, Michelle, I ain't sweating nothing. She just walks around. One time we went on a trip with some friends. We were just walking around. I was looking for something to give. I was, brother. Because I knew they were good soil. Ha! Now, you see, when you're sowing this mission, you know why? I've never had a scandal. But you see, some ministers don't think. You just sow the seed. Yeah. But you must keep the soil fertile so the seed will grow. Now, once I sow it, see, the Bible said no one knows how it works, how it happened, but that seed time, progression time, harvest time, we went on a vacation, I guess you call it, a little holiday. And, Chanel purses cost a lot of money. Just say Chanel. I mean, your breath right there spent a lot of money. Your breath. Chanel. And women can spot that logo. They spot that Louis Vuitton logo. That Burberry logo. Well, the two people, these people, they were two wives. I said, y'all like them Chanel purse? I said, well, just take one. You can have one. I'll buy you one. And I'll buy you one. I'm not bragging. I think that was $6,000, those two. Oh, look at that lady right there. Look, you see that? Oh, say it, sweetheart. Chanel. Now watch this. If you don't think Jesse was worried, no. Kathy comes walking up, looks at it and goes, and of course the salesman, he's freaking out because I guess he makes commission or something like that. He says, whew, Kathy goes like this. She goes, oh, those are so pretty. She says, I think I'll have one too. I said, so give me a three. The man went, I'm going home after this sale. Now watch this. Aha. Not bragging. People say you brag. No. I could brag more with $9,000 in my pocket than in their purses on their arms. You know, between the tax and all, it came a total of about $9,000. You know, or whatever it was. That didn't bother me. That didn't bother me at all. Because you see, my tithe was right. My first fruit was right. My arms were right. And my seed. So, my sister, the Lord, I sowed that as a seed. Because those people that I gave them purses to are good soil. But what I love was my wife. That when we started out married, we had to go to that grocery store with $3 and pennies to buy macaroni and cheese to eat. But see, I didn't know what I'm telling you today. I had no concept of that. And she just walks up and says, I'll take one too. Now, when we were walking out, there were people going, that's Jesse Duplan. That guy bought three Chanel purses, two for friends, one for what? And the guy said, yeah, and he bought it for me, and I'm going home for the day. Now, I'm not bragging, but you see, it was so wonderful that Kathy could do that. And the title of my sermon is, why isn't my giving working? Now I can say this, this is why my giving is working. Now, Satan will throw this in there. He'll try to delay something, you know, make it, see if he can weigh you down with time. But a delay is not a denial. Sister Deloach was so kind a few years ago to give us a nativity set. I mean, nice, expensive. Something she liked. Something that was beautiful. She said, I'd like to give it to the ministry. Christmas, you know. And every time I see it, I say, God bless the Deloaches. Because you see, it's a representative of their heart. It's a representative of how they think about Jesus on his birthday. That's a wonderful thing. Now, could you have bought that? Well, yes, that's not the issue. That has nothing to do with the issue. And I don't believe they'll mind me saying this. But they were married 50 years, I think it was, not too long ago. And I was invited by David, you know, and David and the other brother, Stephen. They were going to pay for everything, which Dr. Deloach said they should do. No, I'm just joking. I've been supporting him. I support him. Kids gave him college education. No, he didn't say that, but you know, it was funny. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, would you do something for me? I said, your wish is my command. What? Would you pay for this? Pay for the dinner? Pay for it? I said, I certainly would. So, you know, without sounding rude, I didn't want to step out of place. I walked over to David. David works with David. I said, David, if you don't mind, I'd like to pay for all this. Oh, no, but you can't do that. Another thing, I walked up to Dr. Deloach. I said, oh, no. I said, and they were very kind. I said, no, let me be a blessing. I'll never forget that I had the opportunity of sowing a seed for 50 years of marriage. Amen. That means my marriage will last at least 50 years. Because I keep telling you, I love you. You see, that was a wonderful thing. Well, I think that Stephen and David did something else. Anyway, they just wanted to be a blessing, what I understand. Yeah, but I just wanted to be a part of that. Now, what was so wonderful is I had the ability. What made him the ability? I was connected to the blessing done by my tithe. To be fruitful, always producing, multiply, always increasing, you know, replenish, fill and refill. It means you're going to spend it down. Then you just refill the thing and then subdue. Don't forget that word. Control your environment or your environment will control you. And then when I get blessed, I say, Oh, Jesus, they only hear the first fruit. Let me just be a blessing. And then, my God, when I see someone, now people say, why don't you just do it all the time to the needy? Because I'm not going to make them think welfare. Welfare don't exist in heaven. Why don't you just take care of the needy? Oh, no, because you see, they'll always be needy. When I go overseas, I receive an offering. You know what I say? These are the poorest people in the world. I say, give me a rock. Give me a stick. Give me a seed. Because the motivation for it is faith and reward. You see, and the world says, you see, this is what you got to watch. Just because you say, God ought to be taking care of me, that's a welfare attitude. No, you ought to be, watch this, taking care of the kingdom with enough substance to take care of anything you want, because God is able to make all grace abound toward you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Abound to every good work. Which means that you should not only be able to be a tither, be a first fruits giver, be an alms giver, and be a seed giver, but you have enough money to take care of your family. If your wife or some Travis wants something, just get it. The kids want something, just get it. Whatever, bless God, just living good, being blessed in the city, blessed in the field. And watch this, if Jesus tarries and you get old, well, my Lord, they say, oh, daddy had that much money? I didn't know daddy and mama had that much money, Lord Jesus. And then their kids better say, I'll tell you one thing about my mom and dad. They had a lot of hard times around them, but they seemed to just walk through it just like it didn't all phase them. They just kept going, but they refused to not, to get out of order concerning their giving, and they refused to just believe no matter what the devil said or what he done. And that's the testimony of Brother A.W. and Vanetta Copeland. And he left this world, she left this world, with money in the bank, blessing for the kids, took care of himself. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I've never been in the Great Depression, but I've seen movies. And it was worse than 2008 recession, I can tell you that. And then while I've been doing this, let me close with this. And I can preach all four Sundays on this, because I'm glazing it. When it came time for me to build this, I needed millions of dollars, millions. God gave it to me. I paid cash for the place. Everything you see is debt free. When I needed an airplane, I paid cash for the first one. When I needed a second airplane because it's bigger, I paid cash for that one. When I needed the intercontinental jet, I bless God, my Falcon, I paid cash for this one. And ladies and gentlemen, very soon in the very near future, I am believing God, I'm going to pay cash for a Falcon 900 EXLX so I can go where no man has gone before and live long and prosper. Now, you can criticize me all you want. I'm going to be honest. I can prophesy this. I don't think I want a bigger house. No, I don't think. I think we have reached it. The only bigger house I'm going to get from now on will be in heaven. And then y'all all get to come over. And it'd be just such a blessing. And God has honored us. And ministered to us. And that's why I haven't had a financial deficit in 34 years. Amen. When it came time to build my dream, this is me. It was easy. My God, this is the easiest thing I ever did financially, was build this campus. I did it by faith. And I said, I call in my seed. And then Hurricane Katrina tried to blow it down. Well, some old hurricane would have blew it down. Well, I got insurance. I can rebuild. That's not the issue. But you see, Satan knows you mess with anything I got. Not only am I going to get insurance money, you're going to pay me 7 times. And I want your lazy boy recliner, too. The substance of your house. You understand? If you like a lazy boy, whatever you like. Glory to God. You are going to pay me because I serve a Jewish God. You are going to pay me. That's not an anti-Semitic statement. Jewish people are very smart business people. If you don't have any Jewish friends, get some. They'll teach you some things. You see, so when you understand, why isn't my giving working? Go home and study those points. And let God begin to deal with you. Now, let me help you. Maybe you've got yourself, and this is going to help you. Maybe you got yourself in a bind that you shouldn't have got yourself in. Everybody makes mistakes. Don't beat yourself silly over it. Boy, you can't only afraid you can't afford to do this and that. Okay, we all acknowledge that. We understand that. We ain't going to hurt you. Understand? But start today saying, I'm going to get out of this hole. I'll tell you something about God. If you don't think he's concerned about his money, he said, you want to borrow it, you're going to pay me interest. That's in the Bible. But I didn't want to read that to you because you might pass out. Let me say one more thing. How many times Jules Bouquet, Deborah Bouquet, me and Kathy had nothing, Corey. I mean nothing when we started this mission. And I got out of the music business and I went from, whoo, big money to nothing, to $1.75 an hour. Because God told me to go home. And I did. And I never forget when we get a check. I remember we take our tithe and we'd put it, they had a piano and we'd put it on it and Jules would come over. Now, Ricky and Christine know what I'm talking about. They've seen all this, you know. I mean, you know, this is my brother-in-law and Kathy's sister. And Jules would say, Jesse. Now, he was an atheist then. He's a pastor now. Isn't God got a sense of humor? He's an atheist. He says, what are you doing, man? You need this money. You need this money. Because, you see, our tables were cardboard boxes covered with a piece of cloth so you wouldn't know it was a cardboard box.
End tables.
Yeah. Nobody knew that. I mean, I began to read the word. God, well, bless God. Why don't you take this money? I said, oh, no, Jews. First thing first, I would go to jail, spiritually speaking. I don't want to be a thief. Yeah, but you need it. Oh, yeah. No. And when we went out and ate dinner, it was some of the best. Me, Kathy, and little Jody went to McDonald's. Cost us about $7 in those days to eat. And we just sat there and I talked to Jody and talked to Kathy. They all talked. That's where we went out. It was wonderful because we were a family. We were together. And that's what it all amounted to. Now today, unless Meredith wants to go to McDonald's, I'll go to McDonald's. But what happened is God honored me. And then when he blessed me, I said, I'll never forget, even Jules one time, he said, spend that money. I said, no. Here, Lord. He didn't ask me. Here. And the generosity began to flow to me. And I always said this. I want to give the missions. I want to, if I could just have enough maybe to help somebody. And then when I saw that everybody was blabbing and everywhere they were going, and I saw how sometimes it was, you know, some people get in a bind. They don't want nobody to know that. And I thought, I read that. Whoa, I thought you couldn't say nothing about money. No, the only time you don't talk about that, don't want your left hand know what you're right, is when you blessing arms to help people to protect their dignity in that crisis. And you bless them to come out the crisis. And you always tell them, remember, somebody did this for you. Anybody ever seen the movie Les Miserables?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when that priest, he said, I redeem you, Jean Valjean. Remember seen the movie? You ought to go see that movie. I redeem you, Jean Valjean. Remember. What's that guy?
He said, you're a new man.
He said, you're a new man. I redeem you. You did not take the candlesticks. If you see the movie, the man redeemed people, built facts on everything. And yet his worst enemy hunted him like a dog. He refused to break the love walk. The love walk destroyed his enemy. He couldn't get over. You've seen the movie. You ought to watch that movie. It'll minister to you.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, you know what? I'm Jean Valjean. I don't care what anybody does to me. I'm not going to break that level.
No.
But let me tell you something. You try to hurt me, that cornerstone called Christ will grind you. Now, I'm not saying that to be scared. I'm just telling you. Because if anybody touch your kids, you could be a 90-pound woman soaking wet. You'll climb up that hairy-chested man and beat his brains out. Because that's your baby. Am I right, ladies? And like, I love the way a white woman said, don't you hit me. But a black woman is really more descriptive. Don't put your hands on me. You put your hands on me, I'll cut you, boy. I will get to you. Look at my man. I hope that was never told to you. I just hope not. He's a... But you say a white woman said, don't hit me. A black woman said, don't put your hands on me. Look at the black women. They go. And the black men. Did you enjoy it this morning? Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Oh, come on. You can do better than that.